her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it
plans. That's a wild end to the first hour of Jen gave it Chewy, guys.
You know what? You heard about it. Chewy, I demand an apology.
I already did. Oh, sorry. Brought me back.
Uh-huh. Yep. You did apologize in the text chain, but...
I mean, you publicly... I want a public apology.
Right, just like you at the restaurant last night.
I apologize to Gabe and everybody in Horica. I am so deeply
you know what?
Sorry.
All right. You know, hey, you apologize to the entire city. I appreciate that.
There it is. That's all we needed. That's all we needed.
It's a lovely swamp.
Because, again...
It really is. It really is. When the sun hits it just right...
Why do you call it a swamp? I thought it was a marsh.
Tomato, tomato.
Oh, okay.
Just also, some of them get offended by the difference.
When you call it a swamp?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the largest freshwater marsh in North America.
See?
I don't know. I thought that Shrek did good things for swamps. I thought now swamps were on the up and up, no? All right, well.
Shrek.
Whatever.
I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Has anybody ever done a 180 the way Chewy has in the last hour?
In the last
Think about where we started and where he finished.
I was worried.
Yes, you were so fired up. He was so angry about his dining experience last night. Demanding apologies from the staff, demanding apologies from the servers. And now he got himself in a little bit of hot water with Gabe and apparently the entire city of Horicon. And right away, what I appreciate is that you're not a hypocrite, Chew. You know?
No.
If you demand other people give apologies, you will also give apologies. Okay, I got several things I want to get to here from yesterday regarding the Green Bay Packers. So you guys tell me where you want to start. You want to start with the renaming the Vince Lombardi Trophy? You want to go to McKinney talking about how great he thinks Quay Walker is? Or you want to talk about how Tausch yesterday said the Green Bay Packers defense was good enough to win the Super Bowl?
Let's go to Tausch because I did a little legwork on this.
Oh,
what? What? Now he's doing legwork?
I did.
Is legwork like what he does at the gym? Is this like...
Well, we know he famously doesn't do any legwork there, so...
I have a feeling we might get
he
a similar
He famously doesn't do any legwork here either, guys.
No legs.
Okay. I think he does less legwork at the gym.
The only legs he sees are the legs on a wine glass when he's sifting it.
Oh, all right, so let's start there. Let's hear from Mark Tauscher, from Wilde and Tausch, who yesterday was talking about the Green Bay Packers defense.
The good news as a Packer fan and why somebody, oh, how far away are they? Oh, they got a long window. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, cute. Our defense made big strides.
No doubt.
Our defense was good enough this season to win.
Wrong.
Our offense didn't get it done when the money was on the table.
Wrong. I don't care if you hold Tennessee to 140 yards. I don't care if you hold the Bears to 210 yards. This is the five games that mattered. Okay? Five games that mattered. Eagles, game one, 410 yards of offense. Minnesota, game one, 465 yards of offense. Detroit, game one, 411 yards of offense. Detroit, second game, 391 yards of offense. And Minnesota, final game, 441 yards of offense. Those are games that matter. When you go through a schedule, you say, yep, they're going to beat the Colts. They're going to beat the Titans. Vikings. They're going to beat the Cardinals. They're going to beat the Texans. They're going to beat the Jack. Who cares? Who cares? As we see, these schedules come down to one game that separates the bye and the rank. Okay? You lost your five toughest games, and you gave up that to their opposing offense. That's not good enough. It's not. Those games weren't close. Okay? Those are the elite teams through the regular season. We thought those were elites. You cannot give up 465 yards to Minnesota in Lambeau Field. Now, you can have a stinker every now and then. You can have a stinker. That's fine. Happened to us in the day. But across the board, your five toughest game, you can't give up that many yards. Now, I agree with them from the standpoint, yes, they are better and they're trending in the right spot. But we said at the beginning of the year, was this Joe Barry's fault or was this the personnel's fault? I think at the end of the day, we found out it was a little bit of a mix.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit of a mixed bag. So the problem with that, guys, is like, if you're going to have that for a defense, your offense has to be legit. They got to be pumping, right? So I disagree with them. I disagree with them.
Thoughts? Yeah. Did they play well enough in the Philly game the second time around? I would argue they did, Chew. But I think your larger overall point of, hey, you had five opportunities against really good teams to make us believe you could win a playoff game, and the defense came up short. Like, I think there's a lot of good potential in that defense, but that's all it is right now. Like, they still have areas to grow. And arguably the two most important positions, cornerback and pass rusher, are two of their biggest needs this offseason. Yeah. So are they going to be able to address them? How do they address them, to me, is going to dictate whether or not this is actually a championship defense in 2025.
I do, though, feel some optimism. I mean, again, if you had to pick between the two sides, I have more optimism about this defense than pessimism, even with those glaring holes. And part of it is watching what Philadelphia did this past weekend to the Commanders. And I know that it's not the same elite talent. The Commanders are not on the same level as the Eagles, which obviously we saw play out. Philadelphia put up 55 points. And the fact that the Packers' defense was able to hold what is clearly an explosive offense. Now, you could argue it's one-dimensional. I still think that you got tough guys on the boundary for sure. And I do think that we have talked about the Packers' run defense for years and years and years and years. And that was a spot where they made huge strides, major leaps. So I have more optimism about the defense than pessimism for sure. The question is, of course, how much better will all the other teams get? Offensively, yeah. And defensively. Because when you look around to Chew, to your point, and I know you have been banging this drum for years on this show, you always talk about how it has to be an average, right? That mm-hmm. You can't have one side really carry the load. You can't have a top 10 offense and then have a top 20, 17, 18, 19 down there. I think those are the numbers. Maybe I'm off on those. That, because that's where your weakness is. So I do think that they're better today defensively, clearly, than they were a year ago. And now, that gives me hope for the future.
I will say this. This defense is good enough in Rodgers' heyday.
Sure. If you have an offense and a quarterback humming, like that.
When Aaron Rodgers was quarterback, they were 1-2 in offense. Yes, this defense is good enough. But currently, as it stands, with this offense, the defense is not good enough.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And to your point, Jen, this is the best I've felt about the Packers linebackers and safeties in God knows how long.
True.
Maybe literally since they won the Super Bowl in 2010, when they had Nick Collins back there, when they had, some better inside linebackers. Those two positions have just been a revolving door for the last decade.
But and that's it seems three like and they've, four.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
three and four, Gabe.
Sure.
That's three and four.
Like, I,
right?
I,
that's three and four.
Do not disagree with you, Chew. But
yeah.
I do feel like those are, you've got Edgerrin Cooper, you've got Xavier McKinney. Okay, let's figure out the rest.
Okay, yeah. So speaking of Xavier McKinney, since we have time for this, I want to wrap this into the back end. Xavier McKinney was on NFL Spotlight this week, and he was giving glowing reviews for one of the other guys who we have mentioned on the show. Take a listen.
We love spotlighting people in the league who deserve more recognition. Xavier, you could pick a coach, a player, executive, whoever you want. Who do you think should be in the seat here in the future?
I think that I'm gonna say Quay Walker. I think he's a hell of a linebacker, and I think he does a lot of good things for our team. And really, in this, I think he's one of the best linebackers in the league. Like, he can do a lot. Like, there's a lot of things that he can do that a lot of linebackers cannot do. And I think he's gonna continue to keep getting better. I think he's gonna continue to grow as a player. And, he's going to be, in the future, he's going to be the best linebacker in the league.
Okay, Gabe, this is complicated for you because you think very highly of Xavier McKinney.
Well, who doesn't?
Great point. You think very highly of Xavier McKinney. You do not think as highly of Quay Walker. You think he's just a guy.
Yeah.
But when Xavier McKinney, who is there day in and day out with this guy, shouts him out and calls him, thinking he has the potential to be one of the best in the league, does that change your opinion?
No, because he's had this potential since day one. Like, I think everybody still sees that potential. And was he better this year? Yeah, he made more plays. But if I see that guy run up and use his athleticism to quickly fill the wrong hole one more time, like, yeah, this guy is big, he's fast, he's athletic, he's everything you want in a linebacker. How come he hasn't been able to live up and fulfill that potential on a consistent basis over the course of three seasons?
Like, this just feels like Jair talking about Dobbs in the preseason. Man, he's going to have to be triple teamed. Yeah, okay. Just a softer version of it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Edgerrin Cooper's better than him.
No doubt. No doubt.
Better player.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think Quay, like, he's fine. He's going to stick around. Somebody else will sign him because he's got that athleticism. He's got that first round, you know? Like, if the Packers don't sign him, and we've been over this, I don't think they pick up his fifth-year option just because he'd be $16 million guaranteed, making him one of the highest-paid linebackers in the league if they pick up that fifth-year option for 2026. So he'll be going into the last year of his contract coming up into this next season. I don't know what the Packers do with him. They obviously still think that he can fulfill that potential. We've heard Hafley speak highly of him, but he seems like one of those guys that, yeah, he's got all the raw abilities. Maybe he shows it in practice, but then he doesn't show up consistently enough in games.
But again, to this point, guys, like, what is the incentive for Xavier McKinney to say this if he doesn't believe this? Like, he must genuinely see flashes at practice. He must genuinely see the things that you're mentioning to say, wow, if we can just get this guy plugged in, if we can just get this guy, you know, to where we think he could be, he's going to be a game wrecker. He's going to be a game changer for us.
But you know what was a tell, Jen? And I know you know what a tell is because you are gambling.
She's not a poker player.
You know what the
She's
tell
not
was?
Pat McAfee going to random Italian restaurant basements to grind out cash.
The tell was the fact that he had to wait so long to come
I
up with
I knew an you were going to say that.
Am I right?
I would say...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have came like that. If he really believed what he said, it would have came out immediate. Quay Walker. The fact that he had to think about it, it's like, yeah.
It struck me as a teammate trying to be a good guy and realizing that Quay Walker is essential to their success and probably is having some confidence issue. I mean, Jason talked about it where his, like, he doubts himself and is really hard on himself. So I think what he's trying to do there is, hey, this guy's good and can be good and will be better. And he was just kind of being the nice guy.
Yeah.
Which, hey, if I say this publicly, that's going to give him this confidence.
Right.
That's going to uplift him.
Which you could argue is usually a pretty bad sign if you're having to do that. But hey, like, he could talk about Edgerrin Cooper in that spot, but it probably goes further to do it for Quay Walker.
Well, and again, we're going to find out how the brass feels about Quay Walker because of the fifth-year option.
Yeah, I think we know.
Again, I think they like him.
Yeah.
I don't think they like him for $16 million.
No. Could they do a Jordan-type deal?
They could decline the option and then come up with something creative if they really wanted to. Yeah, to try to extend him and keep him around.
But they're probably going to go the Stokes route, right?
So here's the thing, though, guys. If you think that the guy has confidence issues and he is wondering why it hasn't all kind of clicked for himself, you know, and people point to the dropped interceptions that he's had over the last few seasons and how that just kind of is one of those, like, instinctively you should make those plays, but he's kind of in his head a little bit. And
he's a linebacker.
And what does that mean? Stone hands?
That's why he's on that side of the ball.
Like, if he was this big, fast, and athletic and could catch, he'd be a tight end. That's what I'm saying. There's more money in being a tight end than an inside linebacker.
Reaction is rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Ryan from Iguanago says, Xavier knows they need Walker to be a better player, so he is hoping this will help make that happen. Dumpy in West Bend says, he clearly misspoke. He means Edgerrin Cooper. And Ron in the Key says, Xavier thinking Walker is good is the most Horicon thing Xavier has ever said.
What are we taking
we
a Horicon
for? We got to stop this. That can't become an insult. We can't let that take off.
What are we taking out Horicon for?
Nice people.
Yeah. Great town.
Two yes, really nice I quick agree. Trips with yeah. an eyesight of each other.
And that one stoplight on the main track.
It's a good stoplight. That separates the two quick yes. trips.
They're big on driving.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Top 8 at 8 coming up next with Gabe Neitzel. Good old Gabe Neitzel, who never, ever, ever tells us when stuff is going on in his life. Like, you know, big days and whatnot.
What?
That's next.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The Top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ron and the Key weighing in saying that the Top 8 at 8 list should be Gabe's Top 8 Birthday Memories. So that Chewy can immediately crap on them. Gabe, is it your birthday?
It is my birthday,
happy
yes.
Birthday,
oh, my God.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are we best friends again?
We are best friends again.
I don't need people in the talk and text line reminding us that it's Gabe's birthday. I should have this written down.
Mine's been in the calendar for me for years because it'll sneak by. He'll never tell you. You'll have no idea.
100%.
Yeah. It got put in about 5 years ago, and it's just recurring. And it notifies me every morning on this date.
Well, so Ashton gets me because he texted outside of our show chain saying, happy birthday, Gabriel. For your present, I will not send this in any group chats.
Well, that's
a great present.
Who is the person? Sadler and Madison said, happy birthday, Gabe. Do you know Sadler? Are you familiar with Sadler?
Yeah, he's been a long time listener.
Oh, there you go. So now I'm putting this in as a recurring every year on today. It's Gabe's birthday. What do we got for the list, Big Guy?
All right, with the big game right around the corner, thought we'd dive into some coaches for the Super Bowl. List 8 things in front of me. You and Chew will guess back and forth. Once you get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Last person to get the one on the list wins that ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. I am looking for coaches who have two or more Super Bowl victories Ooh. And no losses.
Oh, and no losses.
There are 8 coaches in NFL history that fit this criteria. So two or more Super Bowl wins, no losses.
Ooh. That's a hard list. Two.
Or more.
You want me to go, Jen?
Yeah, I'm coming up blank.
Flores.
Tom Flores, which I thought was going to be one of the harder ones, is one of those guys who is 2-0 in Super Bowl history.
Okay, so we saw the other day on the broadcast the list of the coaches who have won the most. I know that, obviously, Belichick has lost.
Mm-hmm.
Did Shula ever lose?
Yes.
Oh, thanks, Chew. Thank you, Chew. How about Lombardi?
Vince Lombardi. You guys struggled nice. Way too long to get the, you know, guy the name.
I was thinking more recent. Obviously, sure, I was doing more recent ones. Yes. But
Vince Lombardi is too.
John Hauerbauer. No, because Billick won at the one time with... Hold on, Gabe.
Okay.
Hold on,
all right.
Buddy.
Okay.
Hold on. He won it once. Hold on. I believe Shanahan.
Yeah. Mike Shanahan is 2-0 in the Super Bowl. He is on the list.
How about Bill Walsh?
Bill Walsh went 3-0 in his Super Bowl appearances. He is on the list. So you guys have 4. You have half the list so far. 8 coaches in Super Bowl history, 2 or more wins, no losses.
Is there another one here that has ties to the Green Bay Packers, but not in the way you want them to?
I mean...
Gabe, Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs lost a Super Bowl.
Did he really? Boop.
And I was batting around Andy Reid, but I believe Reid
lost
one. Yep, that's what I was just going to say.
Also lost one with Kansas City.
Oh, did not remember that one.
Oh, Jen, there's an obvious one.
That's what I think it was the one I was trying to hint at.
Obvious, hate him. Not hate him. He's a nice guy.
For what he did.
Yes. That's all I can give you.
Hate him for what he did?
Just think of my hated teams.
Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy?
Look at the screen.
Knows nothing. What are we doing? Two words.
Are we doing charades on the radio? Is that what we're doing?
You don't know what that means?
Knows?
You don't know what that means.
Knows. You're pointing to your nose.
And what does that mean?
Well,
it means you're correct. It means you're correct.
Oh. I thought you were saying knows as in K-N-O-W-S.
No. Who used to coach for the Bengals, I believe.
Is that a nose joke?
Can we have a guess?
Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson went 2-0 in the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
That's not actually the one I was thinking.
No, but that is another one, yeah.
No,
you guys only have three left on the list. You guys have done well so far. Again, two or more wins in the Super Bowl with no losses. NFL history for coaches. Bill Walsh, 3-0. And then in the 2-0 group, you have Lombardi, Flores, Jimmy Johnson, and Mike Shanahan.
Did Coughlin win a second one or just the one? Chew, do you remember?
You're good there.
Coughlin, 1-2.
Tom Coughlin. And both times the Giants went to the Super Bowl, they went through the Green Bay Packers.
That's the one that Josh was hinting at.
Beat him in the NFC Championship game. Beat him the year the Packers were 15-1.
Good old Red Cheeks.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys just have two left.
I don't have anything else. These are
that's a good run. These though.
That's be, a really good
these
run.
These must be older coaches, I think.
Are you giving up? You tapping out?
I don't want to, but I feel like I have to.
Let the people play.
800-990-3776. That's our Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more. If you want to play Top 8 at 8 this morning, looking for Super Bowl winning coaches who have at least 2 Super Bowls and 0 Super Bowl losses. So they've never been beat in the Super Bowl. 800-990-3776. Gabe, before we get to the calls, reset the list.
6 of them have been guessed. Bill Walsh was 3-0, and then Vince Lombardi, Tom Flores, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Shanahan, Tom Coughlin were all 2-0. So we just have 2 more on the list of 2 or more Super Bowl wins, no losses in NFL history in the Super Bowl for coaches.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Randy in a dump truck, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I think one would be Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll went 4-0 in Super Bowls for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just leaving one left on the list.
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher lost the Super Bowl to Dallas in Super Bowl 30. That is incorrect.
Yep.
Let's go out to Nick in Mount Horeb. Nick, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Hey, guys, I think the answer you're looking for is George Seifert.
George Seifert went 2-0 with the San Francisco 49ers. He is the last one on the list.
Congratulations to Nick. You're our big winner this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. That was a very good top 8 at 8 list. And you said there are only 8, though that's it.
Only 8. Those are the only 8 who have won multiples and never lost.
Good list.
Yeah, that was good.
From the birthday boy. See, now we're never going to not talk about it. Got 30 minutes left.
Yeah, I feel like I did a pretty good job avoiding it for, you know, an hour and 15.
Until Sadler
just blew the
Madison
whistle.
Madison jumped in, reminding us all that it is, in fact, Gabe's birthday. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And look at that, right out on the clock. We'll take a break, roll on right after this, Gabe.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because, well, pizza goes with whatever sport you want to throw on the television. This weekend, probably going to be, you know, some college hoops, or maybe you've got some youth activities you're going to be running around. You just want something that tastes good. It's easy. You just stock up on Palermo's Pizza and you keep it in the freezer because when it comes to Palermo's, it's not just one type of pizza. They've got Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, so many different crusts, sauces, toppings, and they all taste great because Palermo's has been doing this for 60 years. So when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, there's no one better. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the.
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
Chewy!
Yo!
I was just telling Gabe. Yesterday, I was looking for Dario at some point, so I pull up the old Find My. You know the Find My. It's the tracker that wives have on their husbands. I pull up the old Find My, and he was at the car wash.
Oh.
He was at the car wash.
Any damage?
No damage. No, he was vacuuming the mats and whatnot. But I told him, I said, hey, do you not know about the car wash? And he's like, what about it? I said, well, so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, they had a bad experience at the car wash, and I think out of solidarity as their friends, we can't go to the car wash anymore. And he said, bleep that.
By the way, I think I would qualify damage to your vehicle as worse than just a bad experience.
Really? What would it be?
hold on, though, Gabe. The general, because I brought it up to the general.
Yeah.
And she said they're SOL.
I don't love that for them.
Yeah.
They're SOL.
Yeah, their insurance is just going to have to cover it, or they'll pay out of pocket for the repairs.
Yep.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Got to read the fine print.
Oh, is that what it is, fine print?
Well, I mean, again, as owners of car washes, I'm sure they know all about the fine print.
You know, I feel like Chewy's been trying to distance himself from that, from that moniker for the past 24 hours, but you're not wrong. And speaking of being wrong, can we talk about Bill Belichick's comments yesterday? Now, look. I don't think that they were serious. I don't think Bill Belichick is out here actually campaigning for the Super Bowl trophy to be renamed from famously Lombardi, very special to us here in the great state of Wisconsin, to the Tom Brady Trophy. But I do think it is worth exploring the thought process. Why is Bill Belichick all of a sudden, who is considered the GOAT of coaching, whether you like it or not, why is he all of a sudden, Chew, trying to defer credit to the players? What would that be about?
Because I think Tom Brady really thought and believed that Belichick would leave North Carolina to take the Raiders job. And when he didn't, he probably felt that Tom was a little disappointed in him. And that's why he said what he said. That's my take on it.
That's a deep conspiracy. Yeah. Don't you think the easier thing would be like, hey, he's a coach of college kids now and he just wants to give them all the credit so he can get them to come play at UNC?
That's what I was going with.
Seems to be the easier explanation.
Yeah, but you got to look at egos. Brady's ego is probably bigger than anyone's. He's like, come on, I'm Tom Brady. I'm giving you this opportunity. I'm handing it to you on a plate. We're going to pay you more money. And then, you know, he didn't realize that Belichick's comfortable coaching at North Carolina, and he probably is a little butthurt.
Wait.
My guess.
Am I the only one who hasn't seen? Is there actual interest from the Raiders for Bill Belichick to come out and be the coach? I have not seen that anywhere. Now, again, I don't scour every corner of the internet, many of them, but not every.
I did not see that link.
I believe it came up, and that's how we learned that Belichick hadn't officially signed.
Oh yeah, that's
as
right.
The head coach of the New Orleans, North Carolina. So I think that's sort of what it came. I imagine he was approached in some sense.
No, where I got it, Joshy, I think is I was watching McAfee, and he had Lombardi on Lombardo.
Mike Lombardi.
He's the GM of North Carolina.
He was talking about it. And I think I could have swore he confirmed that, yes, Tom did reach out to Belichick.
Just to gauge interest?
To gauge, yeah.
Okay. So let me see if I'm following this. You think that Bill Belichick wants the trophy to be renamed Tom Brady because he thinks that the players are the most important parts of winning championships. And then you lose me. I'm sorry. What was the next part?
No, I think it was a suck up because
he said no to Tom.
Tom was disappointed. He said no to Tom.
Oh,
so he's trying to make up.
It's just a simple suck up.
Hey, I can't come be your head coach. But what if I try to name the Super Bowl trophy?
Because that might have been the dumbest thing. And I love Belichick. It might have been the dumbest thing he's ever said. And he doesn't say a lot, so that makes it like uber dumb.
Versus you, who says a lot, so then it seems less dumb by comparison.
Yeah,
dropping a bucket.
It's like the driving thing we were talking about earlier. What's your standard, really?
I do find it interesting that Belichick is in a very interesting spot where he can say those players get credit, but who brought all those players to New England?
Well, because he was GM and coach.
Oh, so yeah, they did all the tackling, but they'd never be there if it wasn't for me. If I didn't draft them or bring them in free agency, so he's not part of the Patriots because of his outsized ego, because he thought he was more responsible. Him and Kraft got into it about it, and now he's North Carolina's head coach.
Well, if you compare Brady's resume to Vince Lombardi's, let's just break this down to brass tacks. Obviously, Brady won a bleep ton of Super Bowls. No one is denying that. But Vince Lombardi has that leadership quality as well. I'm not saying that Tom Brady's not a good leader. I don't want anybody to misinterpret that. But, like, we know Vince Lombardi, obviously, for winning the Super Bowls, for winning the NFL championships, but also he was, like, at the forefront, right? There's something about being at the beginning of it all and having that level of success that I think should be carried through, right? What would it take for somebody to actually supersede Vince Lombardi's resume? And also, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like the aura. There's like an aura. I don't know what it is.
He was the first one to do it, which is why they named it the Lombardi Trophy. And I don't think you want to change the name of that because then you're just lopping off a bunch of your history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just basically saying, well, actually, even though we've played 60 of these, we don't start counting them until the Brady era. Like, no, I mean, I like the nod to history going back to Lombardi. If we want to honor Brady for all the Super Bowls he won, which is great, rename the MVP trophy, the Super Bowl MVP trophy. Yeah, that's right now named after Pete Rozelle.
Gabe, how many, because Lombardi, before this, there was a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. won world championships.
Correct.
Which was the equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how many world championships he won, but it's probably close to what, Belichick won 7?
Belichick won 6, Brady won 7, Lombardi has 5 NFL championships.
Okay, here's what I'm trying to say, because I'm trying to get my brain to actually function properly here.
Best of luck.
Leap off, birthday boy. What I'm trying to say is Vince Lombardi has like this aura, this narrative, like all of these quotes about leadership and perseverance. And what is Tom Brady's most famous quote?
Let's go.
Enjoy some avocado ice cream. You know, that's what I'm trying to say is, like, it's not just about the singular success on the field.
Tom can't throw and catch the ball.
That was Giselle who had that, but you're right. That is
Brady
one
adjacent.
Of the more famous quotes out of the Brady camp. You're correct about that. I'm looking at a list here of Vince Lombardi quotes. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. It's not whether you get knocked down. It's whether you get back up. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. You know what I mean? Like, this is all a part of the Lombardi legacy.
And Brady's a cheater. Got caught cheating multiple times.
Yeah.
You know what? Of all the things that we have said here on this show and in this segment, that might be the most relevant. That might be the most significant, honestly. Like, can you honestly look at Brady's championships, again, taking nothing away from what he did on the field, and say that every one of them were obtained honestly?
No, you can't.
Well, there's two that we know of, right?
He was a part of the spying incidents, and then Deflategate.
Spygate, Deflategate. Those are the ones that they caught him on.
Correct.
Yeah, but wasn't there a thing on the sideline where they were recording stuff or something? There was something...
I think that was still smart. Maybe it was part of Spygate, but maybe there was another one.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were like secretly recording practices of other teams.
Look at what Michigan's done with their little cheater on the sideline. Maybe that's what they teach at Michigan. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't use the word honest when I...
I mean, except for Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter, very honorable, honest, honorable. Michigan
the
man,
honorable
Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter. Although I don't think I'm calling him the, since the is attached to...
Being a judge?
Well, no.
I realize that...
Oh, yeah, that's you.
I'm kind of throwing stones, because BC wasn't quite perfect.
That was the basketball program.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with you guys.
I lived in the dorm, though. So am I guilty by proxy?
Are you jealous because he didn't get the money?
Well, if my neighbor murders somebody, am I guilty?
By proxy?
Yeah, if they used your shovel, maybe.
Nope, don't think that's how that works.
I don't think so either. I think you're so good, Joshy. Your neighbor broke into your garage, stole your shovel.
Unless they say, I'm going to use this to murder somebody.
And Josh went,
have at it, pal. Knock yourself out.
I'm not going to ask questions. I'm sure you have your reasons.
Yeah, then you might have to worry, buddy. Then there might be some culpability there. Just a couple more Vince Lombardi quotes here. We would accomplish many more things if we did not think of them as impossible. The good Lord gave you a body that can stand almost anything. It's your mind that has to be convinced. Just good stuff, man. Good stuff from Lombardi. Again, if you want to bring me your Brady quotes, things that we can kind of use in our daily lives that encourage us to persevere, work hard, I'm all for it. I mean, open to it.
As we get to see on a now weekly basis, I mean, Tom Brady, not exactly the best orator out there.
Charisma, not his thing.
Really good football player.
Incredible.
Great leader.
One of the best ever.
Not really charismatic.
Do you think Green Bay Packers fans would take it personally?
Yes.
If there was a campaign to rename the Lombardi Trophy?
Oh, of course.
I think you already know the answer to that, Jennifer.
Yes. As there should be. It's ridiculous. Right?
Glad we're all in agreement on that.
Hey, I got a question for you. Who's Larry O'Brien?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
Didn't they also in the NBA rename a bunch of the trophies?
They did. I know the All-Star Game MVP is after Kobe. Finals MVP, I think it's Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just updated. Recently. Yeah.
Former Postmaster General? He was an American politician and basketball commissioner.
Oh, really? So he's a commissioner. But I also didn't know he was the Postmaster General.
Postmaster General in the cabinet of President Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, good for
him. And chair of the Democratic National Committee.
What?
That's a pretty wild career.
It is.
Okay, so the Lamar Hunt is AFC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Conference. What's the
NFC? It's George Halas.
Yep.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
You're familiar with him, it sounds like.
Well, I got two of them. I mean, I didn't get them, but
you got rings.
In getting them. Yeah.
And you couldn't remember what it was called.
I couldn't. Yeah. I thought it was Mara.
Nope. Kate Mara.
No Mara of this. Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all the sports bettors out there. You can now use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and, of course, at the betting counter as well. Bet on your favorite sports and earn rewards play along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So, Gabe, what is the plan for the big birthday?
He's going to drive around HorrorCon.
You really can't help yourself, can you?
I really can't.
Especially, you grew up in a small town too, pal.
I know, but driving wasn't my favorite thing to do.
No, again, misconstruing
what
I said.
I'll let it go. Sorry.
You're telling me that when you got your driver's license and drove to school for the first time, like by yourself, like there wasn't a sense of pride? Sense of independence?
We didn't have a car where I could drive to school, so I've never done that.
That's not true, because you've told the story of how you were driving a car, let off fireworks inside, and then tried to blame it on your cat.
Yeah, that was like at night. That was like a Friday night, which was a good memory. Thank God I got those things out of the way.
Speaking of small towns,
good
Shoe,
memories.
As we were sitting here,
no, my nuts.
Can't say I didn't try. Cannot say I did not try to drive us off that highway. When we were checking, the bio of Larry O'Brien, which was a good question by you, because all of us were like, "Yeah, who is Larry O'Brien?" He was born in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Half hour away from where
that's
I
what
grew
I
up.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to where Chewy grew up as well. So there you go. But it did bring up, like, you know, we name all of these trophies. Now baseball's the Commissioner's Trophy. I think we all kind of know what inspired that.
Yeah.
Hunk of metal. is there any other trophy that we
Stanley Cup?
Oh, the Lord Be Free in 83. What's the name of it? Lord. There's something with the Lord.
And as a good Catholic, you are you're in lockstep.
Lord Byron. I think it's Lord Byron.
Lord Byron Nelson, the golfer?
I believe I'm right.
The Stanley Cup is named after Frederick Arthur Lord Stanley of Preston, who was the Governor General of Canada from 1888 to 1893. He donated the Stanley Cup as an award for the top amateur hockey team in Canada in 1892.
Gabe, what's the British Open?
The Claret Jug.
What's U.S. Open?
U.S. Open is just the U.S. Open trophy.
Ah, that's boring.
PGA is the Wanamaker.
What's that about?
Oh, the Wanamaker, yeah.
What's the Wanamaker?
This giant-ass trophy that has a lid on it.
Well, do we know what Wanamaker is?
I have no idea.
Sounds like a burger chain, if you ask me.
That's Whataburger.
Whatever.
You're just hungry, that's all.
Yeah, probably. The Borg Warner Trophy is the Indy 500. Now, you could have paid me $1 million, and I would have never been able to come up with the name Borg? Of the Indy 500 trophy, the Borg Warner Trophy. I wonder why it's named that. I'll look it up.
Probably somebody foundational to IndyCar.
Well, I would imagine.
But again, that's where a lot of these come from. Like, they're all trophies that are foundational to what the sport is, and to rename it. Again, rename the trophy. I understand renaming MVP trophies or kind of the ancillary trophies after players as you continue to go. But again, Lombardi was the first one. That's a big part of your history. I say you continue that.
Does anybody know who Heisman is? John Heisman, a former college football player and coach. He was the athletic director for the Downtown Athletic Club of New York City, which established the award in 1935. After his death in 1936, they named the trophy after him. He's just some guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from what he did. He was the athletic director.
Heisman?
But, huh?
So are you slighting Heisman there?
I'm just saying, like, it's not like he was like the top football player in college back in the day, and they were like, you know, like a Jim Brown or something, where you'd be like,
but he came up with the award.
Yeah, I would have come up with an award.
Then you have to tragically die the next year.
And I'm not going to do that.
And that's the trade-off.
I don't think you always have to die.
Eventually.
I don't know if I'd like to be a trophy named after me if I was alive.
Yeah, it'd be awkward, wouldn't
it? Well, you know what? It's not all that different than having like a scholarship. You know, a lot of my colleagues at ESPN have scholarships at certain universities. Kevin Negandhi, for example, who went to Temple, has a scholarship. Adam Amin, who we have worked with at times, has a scholarship at his college, and or maybe high school. Either way, they're still alive. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think scholarships are different.
Than trophies?
Yeah.
What about the Grey Cup? Does anybody know why it's called the Grey Cup?
I imagine the last name of a fellow that started the CFL had a name Grey.
No, it's just colored gray. I'm just kidding. I haven't read it yet. I didn't have time.
It's a cup that's gray.
What are we doing here? It's that simple. Commissioned in 1909 by the Earl Grey, which also has a T, I believe. He was then Canada's Governor General. So you're seeing a lot of Canadian influence in the old Well, actually, the Grey Cup is
the Canadian trophy.
Hello. So. For the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, the fact that hockey and Canadian football have Canadian influences, I think that tracks.
That's wild, actually.
I think that tracks.
Sense of theme here.
Gabe, have the best. Ron in the Key says, how about the Jen Latta trophy for driving excellence?
Goes to Gabe.
Gabe, have a great birthday. We will certainly hear all about your adventures tomorrow. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.